Well, next hour, we're going to take a little walk on the paranormal side, leading into Ghost to Ghost tomorrow night, so get ready for that. But when we come back in a moment with Dr. Joel Wallach, we're going to take an hour of phone calls and some more chat with him about your health right here from criticalhealthnews.com. And welcome back, Dr. Joel Wallach with us. Your phone calls as they keep lining up. But the good news is we got an hour with Doc Wallach here. I understand you've been traveling all over the place there, Doc.
Oh, yes, sir. Running from Japan to New Hampshire to Florida, Utah. Right now I'm in Houston, you know, staying away from the floodwater. And in a couple of days I'm going to North Carolina. And then I'm going to Canada. It's just traveling 300 days a year. I'll be up to 400 lectures a year this year.
Just, but you love it. You thrive on it, don't you?
Well, absolutely. And, of course, I take my 90 every day. Been doing it for 68 years. And right now, the medical system has failed every industrialized nation. It's kind of scary that the people who live the longest are in third world countries. The top 20 longevity cultures, George, are all third world cultures, according to the National Geographic. They have 40 times as 100 rolls we do. They have 100 roll per 250 of their population. We only have one per 10,000.
Jeez.
And they don't have doctors. They don't have emergency services. They don't have insurance. By dumb luck, though, they live on property that has minerals in it. And the wood they burn, they're still using wood for fuel. They're putting their wood ashes in the garden, which gives them the minerals, which gives them their long life.
So I assume, like, the tree would suck up these minerals, and then when they burned it for firewood or for, you know, oven wood, they got the ashes.
Exactly.
I guess the minerals don't break down to a point where they decompose along with the ashes then, right?
That's correct. Well, when you look at wood ashes, it's 95 to 98% minerals and only 2 to 5% carbon, which gives it the gray or black color. And because the minerals don't burn. And so when you burn off the carbon in the wood, the powder that's left is 90, 95 to 98% minerals. And it just depends. We need 60. Plants only need 3 to make good seeds for the next generation. So if you're eating plants that are grown in a place with minimum minerals in it, you might only be getting 3 minerals from your food, and you're 57 short. So the only way you can guarantee that you're going to level the playing field, and everybody in your family, all your loved ones, your church mates, your neighbors, your neighborhood, your city, your county, is going to get everything, is to supplement. There's no other way to do it to guarantee it.
Doc, when you look at, because, you know, you're a veterinarian by trade, you have looked at animals, they have the same physiology as a human in many, many cases. What do you see as the single most dangerous factor facing all of us? If you could, you know, raise that magic wand over all of us and fix one thing, what would that be?
Well, George, this is how I got involved in that very question. I was in Africa working on the White Rhino Conservation Project and the African Elephant Conservation Project with Marlon Perkins, the old Mutual of Omaha.
Oh, one. Yes. Knew him well from the St. Louis days. Great guy.
Yep, great gentleman. And he sent me to Africa to work on those projects. Because I had given him a copy of my first scientific paper, which was the identification of the first mass die-off from pollution in America, and identified the chemicals, how it happened, and got it published in scientific journals. Gave him a copy just because he was one of my mentors. I worked for him for 5 summers before I graduated veterinary school and went to Africa. Well, he sent me a letter after I was 2 years there working on these projects. He said, I need you back in the country, Wallach. He says, I just got this big grant from the National Institutes of Health. We're going to do autopsies in the animals that die in the big zoos around the country and people who live in close proximity to the zoos and find out what pollution is the cause of death from natural causes. So to make a long story short, George, I did that for 10 years. I did 20,000 autopsies, 10 million chemistries. I had 10 technicians working day and night on this project because they knew the Earth was going to end in moments from a pollution problem. And it turns out that pollution wasn't the problem. Genetics wasn't the problem. It was all nutritional deficiency diseases. And the book that came out, 1,200 pages, is in the Smithsonian Institute as a national treasure. So I'm very, very proud of that. And so the problem is, our biggest problem is we're not getting all the nutrients we need to maximize our genetic potential. You may have the genes live to be 200 years of age and be devoid of every disease, but if you're only getting 3 of the 60 minerals you need, you might die at 22 a heart attack.
That's a good point. Good point indeed. And folks, when you go to criticalhealthnews.com, take some time to look at the videos. Those are very important, and they're there for you. They're free to watch. Let's go to Tom in Port Angeles, Washington. Hey, Tom, thanks for holding, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening, Doc. Good evening, George.
Hi, Tom.
See, I used to have a fireplace, but I don't get to use it anymore. And it's the house I grew up in and everything. But we take the ashes out and we scatter them on the bank. And that was where the blackberries were. And some huckleberry bushes, I might add, and a currant bush and some gooseberries down at the bottom. And those were always good and yummy and everything was fine. No longer being able to have a fire in my fireplace, and I live rural, but the air quality concerns and how you're limited to, you know, use your fireplace and, you know, cook outside and anything that you would wind up doing to retain your ashes and use them, that's now against the law. And I wonder what you think of all that, Doc.
Well, that's intriguing, Doc. It's going back to use those ashes. What do you think? Did we lose the Doc? I think we did. Tom, we lost the Doc. So we'll have to get them. We'll take your calls, but I am not qualified for that. Other than I would say, according to the Doc, that the ashes worked. You know, we've gone to a world of, you know, propane gas, natural gas for barbecue grills and stuff like that. It's simply amazing the things that we have gone through like that. So we're going to try to get Doc Wallach back here for you. He has disappeared. He's somewhere, as he mentioned, in Houston. And, we're trying to get him back. If not, let's take some calls. At least we'll get some of your thoughts. And, Bruce, I'm going to go to you, Bruce, in Asheville, North Carolina. We'll chat for a little bit, and hopefully we'll get the Doc right on for you.
I hope so. I'd like to really ask him a question. To you, George, have you seen any chickens lost to Siberian huskies lately?
You remember that story?
Oh, yeah. That was a great one. You made my night.
And we've got the Doc back, Bruce, so go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi, Doc. I've been on your 90-day for about the last 6 months, and I'm a Vietnam vet. I just had my latest CT scan with my arteries, and they're like major clogged. I have major plaque. And I was wondering if there's anything else I could do.
Oh, absolutely. There's two things you have to do to clear out the plaque. Number one, you have to stop the ongoing damage, which is caused by inflammation. That means no fried foods, no processed meats or nitrates and nitrites. No deli slices, sandwich meat, sausage, ham, bacon, bologna, salami, you know the drill.
And this stuff has probably accumulated, Doc, for years him.
And basically, George, where people get it wrong, where the doctors and the medical system have gotten it wrong, they believe falsely that cholesterol and saturated fat clog up the arteries. That's not true. When I did those 20,000 autopsies with Perkins on that big project for the National Institutes of Health, I compared the clogged arteries in vegetarian animals and people, vegan animals and people, and meat-eating animals and people. And the ones that had the worst clogged arteries were the vegans because they cook everything in extra, 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 extra olive oil, right? And the virgin kind. And basically it causes inflammation in the arteries, and the arteries respond by making scar tissue, trying to defend itself. And it's the scar tissue, because we were staining for cholesterol and staining for saturated fat, and it was actually scar tissue to clog the arteries in response to the irritation caused by eating these oils, these oxidized oils. So you have to stop all that. No salad dressings, no cooking with oil. Can't do it. There's no oil, no margarine, no mayonnaise, no salad dressings, no cooking oil. No salad dressings. You have to use lemon wedges, or use lemon juice. Water. No gluten, no wheat, no barley, rye, no oats. What do you weigh here?
Let's go to Bruce again. Bruce, how much do you weigh?
I'm about 5'10", and I weigh about 193.
193.
Okay. Okay, that's go close ahead enough there. To 200, so I'd have you take two of the Healthy Brain and Heart packs per month. That's designed to give maximum nutrition to and support maintenance repair for the brain and heart and the cardiovascular system. In addition to two of the Healthy Brain and Heart packs, a full dose of everything twice a day, you need to also take what we call the ultimate cardio sticks, and they're designed to support and promote healthy blood flow through obstructed arteries, and they're designed to support and promote healthy blood pressure. And by giving up the bad stuff and taking the Healthy Brain and Heart Packs plus the ultimate cardio sticks, I would throw one more thing in. We call it the ultimate niacin plus, and it has 500 milligrams of time-release non-flush niacin, but it also has a handful of herbs in there which help dilate the arteries, including the ones in the heart, and allow more blood to get to the heart. The heart's going to respond, and the heart wants to repair itself. It will repair itself. I have billionaires who go to the best doctors. They were not getting results. They did not want stents. They did not want bypasses. So I put them on this program, and in 6 months' time, they went from 98% blockages of two of their three main coronary arteries to zero.
That's amazing, Doc. That's truly amazing. Bruce, do the best you can and get back with us. Tom, you've got another text for us. What do you have back there?
Sure do, from Rick in South Dakota. I am constantly over-sweating, and my doctor can't figure out why. Does Doc Wallach have any suggestions? P.S., I eat a lot of oatmeal. Does that matter?
Over-sweating. It's a text message, Doc, so obviously we can't ask him questions. But go ahead.
Fine. But, when you eat oatmeal all the time, you eat oatmeal for breakfast every morning, you eat it for a snack at night before you go to bed kind of thing, and a lot of people do that, especially those that have weird working hours. Oats have a lot of gluten in them, and you can have a gluten problem. And this can cause, even if you're supplementing properly or eating properly, it causes a change in your intestines, so you lose about 85 to 95% of the absorptive surface as a result of eating all this oatmeal. And what will happen is you get all these nutritional deficiencies, including an omega-3 essential fatty acid deficiency, and sometimes just your blood sugar dropping because you're deficient in the minerals will cause sweating. But oftentimes it's due to a deficiency of the omega-3s, and that's a warning. You could be at high risk for a thrombotic stroke, where you get a blood clot stroke or a coronary thrombosis, a blood clot in a coronary artery, because when you're deficient in those omega-3 essential fatty acids, you're prone to getting blood clots. So I urge you to get gluten-free, get rid of all the inflammatory stuff, no fried foods, no processed meats, no oils, no gluten. And I would go ahead and take per 100 pounds of body weight, I would go ahead and take Healthy Brain and Heart Pack per month per 100 pounds of body weight. And that should help the body resolve that problem.
And, Doc, when you say gluten, I want you to explain to folks who probably don't know what that means, gluten-free.
Okay, gluten is the protein you find in wheat and barley, rye, and oats, those four grains. And nobody's really allergic to gluten, and doctors will say, you know, we're going to test you for it since you're suspicious of it. Let's just do a wheat allergy test, a blood test. Well, it's nonsense, because when you have a gluten intolerance, it's not an allergy. Just like most people do not have an allergy to poison ivy, George, but I guarantee that everybody's intolerant of it. And when you're intolerant to gluten, and I say 85 to 90% of Americans are, your intestines, if you die from a car accident, when you look at your intestines will look like you've been eating poison ivy for salad. It is ugly, and you can see where you can't absorb much. And so it's imperative that you get rid of the gluten out of your life. No wheat, no barley, rye, no oats. You can have millet, you can have rice, you can have buckwheat, which is not wheat, you can have baked potatoes, you can have sweet potatoes, all that kind of stuff. So it's not like you're going to starve to death by giving up wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Every grocery store has a gluten-free aisle. We have Go Foods, which has a 25-year shelf life, and 25 of those foods, some are prepared meals, some are just the flour, so you can make your own pancakes and waffles. About 25% of them are gluten-free. They're all non-GMOs. And they have a 25-year shelf life because they're all freeze-dried. And so this is a good way to get good food, get your gluten level down, and begin to absorb, and these problems just go away.
Carlos, our friend in Carson, California, it's your turn, Carlos. Go ahead.
Good evening, George. And a question for Mr. Wallach.
Doc Wallach. You know, Dr. Wallach for you.
Dr. Wallach, yes. You know, my wife died of breast cancer several months ago, and there's been a tremendous explosion of breast cancer in the last few years, and I've entertained the thought: there's all of a sudden a high concentration of breast cancer that somehow it may be being created artificially perhaps maybe in bras or some toxic agent in bras, or maybe creams or women's products, perfumes. And you know, on top of that, the reason why I believe it's being created artificially, back in the 1960s at Tulane University, they were doing experimentations with monkeys and cancer, and they were deliberately injecting cancerous cells into the polio vaccine. And years later, in breast cancer on some women, they found something called a small virus B that was traceable to some of those experimentations and the pollution of contamination of polio vaccines with these cancerous cells. So I'm just wondering, what's your take on breast cancer, Doctor?
All right, and also our condolences, Carlos, on the loss of your wife. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to lose a loved one, and to lose a loved one from cancer is just really tragic.
Oh, my God.
So this is a good question for George, your audience, to hear this. Cancer is not genetically related in any way. It's always a self-inflicted disease. Let's look at breast cancer, okay? And when you look at breast cancer, the University of South Carolina published in 1998 a big study, part of the Nurses' Health Study, 90,000 nurses over 20 years. They found that women who cook their meat, like the hamburger and steaks and ribs and chops and that kind of thing, when they cook their meat medium rare, they reduce the risk of breast cancer by 462%. That's published data. When they ate their meat cooked well done, where the fat was browned or even burnt, it increased the risk of breast cancer by 462%. The same experiment was repeated later on from the University of Arizona. It had originally been done in 1912 and published in Popular Mechanics magazine, of all things, because they wouldn't publish it in medical journals because it was prevention. And so it's kind of interesting that the medical journals wouldn't publish it, but Popular Mechanics did. When you supplement it with selenium, reduce the risk of cancer, like prostate cancer, by 69%, breast cancer by anywhere from 32 to 82%, and just supplementing with selenium. And that was in April of 1912 it was published. It was published again. The study was redone by Dr. Larry Clark at the University of Arizona in the Annals of Medicine, which is a very well-respected medical journal, in December of 1998, okay? And it gave the same result as the one in April of 1912. And that is, breast cancer, depending on the amount of selenium you use, could reduce it by anywhere from 32 to 82%, prostate cancer by 69%, pancreatic and liver cancer by 65%. Even cell cultures where they had the human cancer cells in it, they could give the selenium and it would go away. It's just amazing. And so these are things we know because they've been done over and over and over in the laboratory. And, of course, now we have this new information, which I've been yelling about for 45 years, that if you eat just 1.5 ounces a day of processed meat, hot dogs, salami, bologna, pepperoni, anything like that, deli slices, sandwich meats, 1.5 ounces a day, that's like a third of a hot dog every day, and that's what we're feeding our little kids. To go to school is hot dogs, and on the weekends they have hot dogs for breakfast and hot dogs for lunch.
Oh, salami, bologna, and all that stuff.
Yep. It increases your risk of cancer of all kinds, including breast cancer, the same as the cigarettes a day or working in an asbestos-type factory.
Well, when I saw that story, Doc, I freaked out. It was unbelievable. Anyways, we're going to come back and take final calls with Doc Wallach in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And again, toll-free number 1-855-949-RADIO. The website, criticalhealthnews.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Doc Wallach, is our final segment. Boy, these hours go by fast, Doc. It was great hearing MZ's voice. He, of course, carries Coast to Coast on his station up there in Santa Cruz. He is, Doc, I've got to say, one of your biggest, staunchest supporters. He is unbelievable up there.
Yeah, you're right. We've been working together, Mike and I, for 23 years.
That's fantastic.
Who
found who first? Did you find him or did he find you?
I found him, and we started off on Sunday mornings once a week, and it kind of grew from there.
Good for you. We're going to go to calls in just a second. I know some of you have been on hold for an hour, and I will get to you, I promise, post-haste. To talk about Carlos and his late wife in her breast cancer, the World Health Organization and the CDC are now saying don't get mammography, mammograms right away. Push that back a little bit, ladies. How come, Joel? What's going on with that?
Well, Harvard Medical School came out with something about 25 years ago that said don't get mammograms. The federal government at the same time looked at it and said, oh, they're right, don't get mammograms. And of course, the medical doctors, they make about $2,500 every time a lady gets a mammogram. And to an OBGYN, the lady is breast and a cervix, and that's how he makes his money.
Uh-huh.
And so if he can get her to go for a mammogram once a year, as young as he, you know, as young as he can get her to do it.
And you got 100 patients or God knows how many.
Exactly. Now you know what's happening here. Well, Harvard said, and the government said 25 years ago, do self-breast examination once a year, go to a woman, a physician's assistant or nurse practitioner, have them examine you, because they have no axes to grind, and you'll be able to keep track. If you find anything that's painful that wasn't, or itchy, or something different, get a high-resolution ultrasound. No radiation, you'll get the same information. The only negative is the doctor only makes $50 instead of $1,200. And so that's okay. You want the non-radiation piece. And if he says, well, can I? Is there any way I can convince you to get this mammogram? You say, well, yeah, you proved to me it's safe by putting your testicles in the machine. If you'll do that, then I'll get the mammogram. You know, George, there'll never be another mammogram.
All right, let's go to the phones now. Let's go to Kevin, Corpus Christi, Texas. Hey, Kev, you're a saint for waiting so long. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a couple questions.
Sure thing.
One, I don't know if you ever thought about this, doctor, but because the Forest Service stopped letting these brush fires take off, so like for 100 years, the forests haven't burnt. Do you think that has a problem? Do you think maybe what you're talking about, the dams, things like that, that now since they're not having the brush fires, the forest fires, that the minerals that would be burned off on these things, when you get floods, things like that, it would actually bring the minerals into the rivers and into the farmland? Do you think that would have something to do with this also, what you're talking about?
Well, what happens is when you have a forest fire, the trees do burn and you get the accumulation of ashes there. Of course, it kind of reinvigorates the soil that the trees were growing in. So the next generation of trees are going to grow faster and bigger and taller eventually. It takes time, but it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it gets washed off because there isn't any underbrush anymore to kind of stop it. And so the first rain, some of that ash will get washed off into the creeks and the rivers and so forth, and that'll carry some of those ashes in there. And, of course, you're looking at volcanic eruptions, the same thing. I happened to be up when Mount St. Helens blew up in 1980. I was on National Guard duty right across the river from it and saw it blow. It looked like a hydrogen bomb going off.
Jeez.
And it blew ashes over all of eastern Washington and all of eastern Oregon, and everybody, all the environmentalists thought our farm soils were dead there forever because there was like 10 inches of ashes over farmland from the Pacific Ocean all the way to the eastern end of the states. But they had bumper crops for 25 years until the plants had sucked up all the minerals out of the soil again, and now the soils are depleted again because there's not a volcanic eruption every year. There's not floods every year anymore. But, yeah, anytime they have those forest fires or wildfires, the trees that burn leave ashes, and some of it goes into the ground, reinvigorates the local soil. Some of it runs off into the creeks and rivers.
And I think you had one more question, Kev. Go ahead.
Yeah, another question is, moved from Bakersfield, California to Corpus Christi, Texas, and then when I tell people the dirt here smells totally different than it did in California.
Huh.
And definitely, people here in Corpus Christi are definitely not as healthy as they should be. Because I moved here, what can I add supplements and minerals and vitamins to my diet to help me bring back what I need? Because even the fruits and vegetables that grow around here definitely do not taste the same as they do in California.
That's an interesting question, Doc. Different areas, and you kind of pointed this out in the beginning, the soil is different in different spots. It even smells different. But so what can Kevin do?
Okay, you're exactly right. Nutritional minerals do not occur in a uniform blank around the crust of the earth. They occur in veins like chocolate and chocolate ice cream. Some places have none. Some places have a few, like 3, 4, or 5. Some places have 10, 12, 15. Some places have 25. Some places have 40. And the most fertile land, of course, has the 40, 50, 60 minerals. And there's no way to tell unless you do a $2,500 analysis of the soil, because plants only need 3. And it will affect how the plants smell and how they grow and so forth, because plants enjoy minerals. And they only need 3, but they enjoy anything they can get. And so the only way you can level the playing field is to supplement with all 90. This is why we came up with that basic healthy start pack. We call it and one healthy starter pack has 245 nutrients, including all 90 essential nutrients. It gives you perfect biochemical nutrition for 100 pounds of human flesh for a month. So you give it to a 50-pound kid, it's a two-month supply. 30-pound kid, it's a three-month supply. 200-pound person will need two of them a month. 300-pound person will need 3 months because it's one per 100 pounds of body weight. And that's the only way. You cannot eat well. You cannot eat more carrots. You can't, because if it's not in the soil, plants cannot make minerals. And so we must consciously consume them. And this is what we learn in the agricultural industry. And as you pointed out in the beginning of the show, George, I am a veterinarian. I have a degree in agriculture as well. I'm a primary care physician as a naturopathic physician. I've been licensed and practicing since 1982 as a naturopathic physician. And the thing that I've learned is that people try to get everything they can from their food, and the ones that don't supplement, they can't. And that's why Steve Jobs died at 56. That's why Iwata died at 55.
Sad
that's
story.
Why
yeah.
Bo Biden died at 47.
Doc, I wish I had known you during the days I owned racehorses. My God, with your idea of minerals and supplements, these things could have been machines.
Oh, absolutely. They would run faster, be stronger, more resilient. Absolutely.
Let's go to Gerald in Virginia Beach, Virginia, first-time caller. Hi, Gerald. Go ahead.
Hey. Thank you, George, for having me on.
You're very welcome.
Doctor, I have a – just. I'll try to make it quick. I want to know when you're coming to Virginia Beach. We'd love to have you in this area. But
okay.
I have gout. My grandfather had rheumatoid arthritis. My father has arthritis really bad, but I take Colchris or Cochocine for the gout and allopurinol. I've lost a lot of weight 3 years since I have a piece of bread, pasta, rice, potatoes, dairy, all of that. I'm trying to lose and do that, but the gout, it's moving around, and I'm like, it's on my elbows now, right now. My fingers are swollen, and I'm...
How much do you weigh now?
How much do you weigh, Gerald?
I weigh 270 now. I did weigh 360.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, my, okay.
Lost a lot.
All right. So 270, you're still close enough to 300 pounds, so I'd have you take three doses a day. It's one per 100 pounds of body weight. And basically, I would have you take, and you want to be sure to get the ones without the shellfish, and it's going to be the OsteoFX Plus. Okay, the OsteoFX Plus. You want that particular version of the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack. Doesn't have any shellfish in it, because there's two things you have to do when you have gout. And it certainly is not a genetic thing, but it is what's called an inborn error metabolism. When you were an embryo, when you were making the enzyme systems that give you better ability in your liver to break down uric acid, you're kind of left out because mama didn't have enough nutrients for that system to form properly, so they're defective. But you can control it and eliminate it by two things. Number one, you got to avoid all the bad things that make uric acid. That means no shellfish, absolutely no legumes. That means no beans, peas, lentils, peanuts, that stuff's got to go. And no organ meats. Nobody minds giving up brains and heart and liver and kidneys. But you got to give all those things up. And then you got to make your liver happy, because your liver is the organ that's supposed to break down uric acid into harmless carbon compounds. And so, again, at 270 pounds, I'd have you take three of what we call the Healthy Brain and Heart Pack per month, designed to support the brain, the heart, the liver. And so three Healthy Brain and Heart Packs per month. If finances won't allow that, and then I wouldn't go any lower than two. I'd sacrifice something else, get a minimum of two of the Healthy Brain and Heart Packs a month, take a full dose of everything twice a day, but better yet, three times a day. And how tall are you?
Let me go back to him. Hold on. Go ahead, Gerald.
I'm 6'3".
6'3", Doc.
Yeah, so yeah, you could weigh 220, something like that. So you need to lose about 50, 60 pounds. And so I would also throw in what we call the ASAP, put a dropper full under your tongue 30 minutes before each meal, let it absorb through your old tissues, and you'll lose a half a pound to 2 pounds a day safely. And it'll be a miracle for you, because everything's going to be better when you lose that 50, 60 pounds, and you're giving your liver everything it needs to break down that uric acid and that might get through. But if you're really good about staying away from legumes, you're good about staying away from organ meats, and you're good about staying away from shellfish, you won't ever have another gout attack again.
Thank you, Gerald. And, Doc, when people call the toll-free number, they're going to be able to talk to somebody. They are not doctors on that end. So they're, you know, they're not qualified to give people remedies or anything like that. But what do? Do they steer people in the right direction?
Well, basically what happens here is people come like Gerald and say, look, I've got gout. Well, they know what to do for gout. They're not making the diagnosis. They've already come to them, okay, I have gout. And so they know what to tell them for gout, for heart disease, for congestive heart failure, for high blood pressure, for being on dialysis, arthritis, Alzheimer's disease, macular degeneration. Most of these people who are answering the lines for critical health news, okay, are going to be with me for many, many years, some of them 5 years, 10 years. I got gals that have been with me for 25 years.
Wow, so they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they know exactly what to say. They're not going to make a diagnosis. If you give them symptoms, they will give you recommendations based on symptoms. They're not going to make a diagnosis. But usually people call and say, I have arthritis, I have high blood pressure, I have diabetes. They don't have to make a diagnosis. They don't keep records. They don't charge a fee. This is all free. And it will guide each caller onto which package is necessary and what diet is necessary to give them the best result as quickly as possible.
Good. All right, let's go to Baltimore, Maryland. Charles is with us. Hey, Charles, thanks for holding, sir.
Yes, and thank you. One thing I got to say, and I'm not saying this to be sarcastic or nothing.
All right.
If you want to get everybody on board, you need to really go do better than to reach the pride population. For example, okay, and I got a medical question. If you don't have time, you know, for this, for that, we could do that later. Okay, I called and I asked about getting the stuff in Braille. We get stuff from the National Library Services for the Blind, and the newsletters that we get are the Harvard Health and the University of Berkeley Wellness Letter. There's another one I can't remember the name of, and I'm sorry I can't.
That's okay, Charles. That's all right.
And certainly they can't be the same news that you have. Certainly it can't be. And plus, okay, they have these books. You know, when I call and I ask them, you know, why don't you get those books in Braille? You know, they never get back in touch with me. It's like asking them to do, it's like, okay, it's just as likely for me to go out and cross the street without using a cane.
Well, don't do that. So what about audio books, Charles? Would that help you, audio books?
Yes, audio too, but Braille's my favorite. And since we do have this, since we do get those newsletters in Braille, why can't they...
Let's ask the doc that, and then I'll come back for your question, Charles. Is there anything you can do, doc, through Critical Health News to do anything in Braille? Is that possible?
Well, right now we do have audiobooks and we do have CDs. We have it in like French and Spanish, and Portuguese, and Japanese and Chinese. We have all these languages in the CDs to go over this, so people can listen to. We have the audiobooks. And if he will send you something and get it forwarded to me, what they are using is the organization I can talk to, we can find a Braille translator. We'd be happy to cooperate and do that because the audio books and the e-books are just going like crazy.
Oh, yeah, so they are. Okay, so you'll work on something for Braille for them.
All right. To do it.
All right, Charles. If you can have somebody help you, Charles, get to criticalhealthnews.com and have them send an email to Doc Wallach. He'll start working on that for you.
Yep.
Okay, I'll have to take down his email address when I get done doing this.
Well, it's on the website. Just think of criticalhealthnews.com and you can send an email and say this is for Doc Wallach.
Okay, Dr. Wallach. How do you spell his last name?
W-A-L-L-A-C-H.
Okay, now it's a medical question. And thank you very much for listening to this. I know it wasn't very pleasant. It wasn't very nice, and I do apologize.
No. You have every right to ask for that.
Okay. Okay, here's the question. I like honey. Is honey as good, better for you than sugar? And I am going to try to switch from blue cheese dressing to, lemon juice on my salad. I'm going to try to phase that out. You know, I did hear that tonight, and thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Honey. And why do they say oatmeal is so good for your heart?
Honey and oatmeal, okay. Doc. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all,
and I'm not calling you honey, Doc. I'm just asking you about it.
Well, first of all, they say oatmeal is good for your heart because it lowers your cholesterol, which is a very, very bad idea. Because when you get low cholesterol, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease, low T, erectile dysfunction. If you're a lady, you'll get menopause at age 35. You do not want to lower your cholesterol. That was a failed medical theory, killed billions of people in the industrialized world over 50 years. And so nobody should be lowering their cholesterol below 220. Okay, any doctor who tells you that, you should fire them immediately. Okay, and of course, the whole thing on cholesterol was a sales campaign by Procter & Gamble. They actually gave the American Heart Association, this is a 2-full-page article in Wall Street Journal, George. They gave the American Heart Association $1.7 million to demonize cholesterol and saturated fats so they could sell Crisco. Okay, and that was the whole deal over cholesterol. There's nothing wrong with cholesterol. It's an essential nutrient. You get Alzheimer's disease if you don't have enough cholesterol. Alzheimer's disease is a cholesterol deficiency. It was caused by the sales campaign for Crisco. Okay, so don't eat oatmeal. Number one, it's got gluten in it. It's going to change your intestines so you can't absorb much. And if it does lower your cholesterol, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease. So you want to stay away from that. And then, let's see, what was the other one? Oatmeal and what? Oh, honey.
Honey.
And honey, of course, it will have some minerals in it based on what minerals in the soil where the plants grow, where the bees are getting the flower or the pollen. And so the amount of mineral nutrition in honey is extremely variable based, again, on where they're from, because nutritional minerals do not occur in a uniform blanket around the crust of the earth. And so honey and its nutritional value varies. What you have to do is look at honey as sugar. And it's a pleasant sugar. It's nice. It's natural. But if you're a diabetic, you can't have it. If you have reactive hypoglycemia, you can't have it. If you have anything, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, anything that is related to sugar, narcolepsy, reactive hypoglycemia, all of these things will be negatively impacted if you use honey. Even if you use honey, it's still sugar.
All right. There you go, Charles. And Doc Wallach, thank you again so much, my friend.
Well, God bless you. I can't thank you and your team enough for making sure that your listeners get good information to add 25 to 50 healthy years to your life. We love you for it. God bless you and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Doc Wallach. And again, the website, criticalhealthnews.com. The toll-free number, 1-855-949-7234, which is 1-855-949-RADIO. I'll be back in a moment as we take a little walk on the paranormal side for you on Coast to Coast AM. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Do follow us on Twitter.